In studio, I have Katie Flavin. Katie, how are you?
Hi, Shane. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Would you like to tell the audience who you are? I presume everybody knows they're listening to you anyhow.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody know me, but certainly a few might know me. I'm actually just live out the road, and I suppose why I'm here this evening is on grief, because I've experienced it myself. I actually 11 years ago this month my husband died, and it isn't that I haven't just experienced grief with my husband. I've had, you know, one of my sisters died and my father died, my mother very recently, actually in her 95th year.
Well done.
But yeah, it was great. It was lovely, actually, because she was a lovely lady and she lived life to the fullest, I suppose, really being fair to her. So I suppose and it took me on a journey. And our, I suppose, a path. And as we all know, we're all on this. Every day we're doing some kind of a pathway. And 11 years ago, my life changed dramatically, I suppose, really, when Dan died. And I suppose the biggest part of it was that our home was a very open home. And we had visitors from 8 o'clock in the morning until 12 o'clock at night, and maybe longer sometimes. And because he was sick for 5 years.
Wow.
So I suppose you have what they call, you know, you're preparing for grief. And I suppose with him, that's what we certainly were doing. My father died suddenly. My mother died, I suppose, of graceful old age. And my sister died again of a brain tumour. So I suppose in life I've encountered, as we all do, because as we all live on this planet, there's nothing surer than debt. It's like the taxman, we have to pay the tax, we have to pay the debt price, I suppose. And that's really what it's about. And I took off on my own journey, I suppose. I called myself actually the widow on the run at the time, and I couldn't stop running. I suppose inside the four walls of the house was the last place I wanted to be. So I found myself on certainly a different journey, and I took off to America doing crazy courses. And I suppose one great course I came across actually was called Emotional Freedom Tapping, and that's 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I suppose now it's becoming more popular and people are becoming aware of it. But 10 years ago when I actually found it, I'd say people thought I was really tapped. Yeah, with the tapping. So what a fantastic technique for grieving. And I suppose what I'm here tonight to enlighten you about is that when Dan died, I searched, I'd say, from Yall to Belfast, looking for support for someone in grief. I was young, and you really feel lost because I suppose all our friends were in couples, and I was no longer part of that couple. And I know you have all different kinds of grief, but tonight we're just talking about the one associated with death, really, of a very close member of your family or friend. We're all aware that grief can come when you retire, or it can be the death of a dog can be extremely special to some people. And we all encounter it in different ways. So I suppose we've started a group actually in the All Cancer House, which is fantastic, as you know.
To have a support group in town, yeah.
Absolutely. And at the moment we have a small group, but I was just talking to one of the members there actually just before I came on, and, you know, I suppose even though you're only with a few weeks really, I suppose, since Christmas, it's great because, like she just said to me tonight, and I thought it was great for me to even hear it as well, she just said that, you know, I love going to it. Like before, she said I wouldn't go anywhere. But now I know I can go in there. And I suppose what's important about it is that we all sit around the table and we all have our own shared grief experience. And I suppose it's different than going in for
a therapy group or something
absolutely.
Like that. Yeah. It's a support. It's like-minded people that have been through the same and are there to support each other.
And it's organic.
Yes. There's nothing planned or anything like that. Yeah.
And it's amazing what comes up in a chain. Everything does. You know, from the loss that people feel to, you know, we talk about finance, we talk about being on your own. There's
the logistics of things as well, like, you know.
What?
The logistics of things as well. It's not just about the grief, like,
yeah,
you know, it's about trying to navigate life now, like, you know.
Absolutely. It's about actually saying to yourself, my God, where do I go now? How do I challenge myself to move forward another day? And I suppose even that's a huge thing, like finance, when somebody dies close to you, it can be overwhelming. So I suppose, you know, none of us know where, you know, how we're going to get it sorted out, and there's different legal things that have to be sorted. And then as well as that, I suppose what really amazes me is there's all age groups inside in the room at the moment, you know, from 30s to 60, 70 year olds. So grief has no age limit. And I suppose that's what's very important. And we all come, even though we all share the same experience, but we all come from a different pair of shoes. You know, like, especially I take my hat off and stand back and admire the ladies. There's two ladies at the moment with us, and they have two very small, they have small children. You know, little 2 year olds. Whereas when you're on your own, it must be overwhelming to do that. Whereas even with a partner and a 2 year old, it can be challenging. But a 2 year old on your own is overwhelming.
And to handle that grief and being trying to stay present, you know, with the baby and stuff like that, like, it must be hugely challenging.
Absolutely.
Like, you know.
And, you know, some, they have more than just one. Some of them have two and three children. And like, that's it, really. Like, it's really is life happens for us.
So they take some time out on a, on what night is it again?
A Monday night.
On a Monday night. They take some time out on a Monday night. And,
half past seven,
but there's no necessarily finish time, because I know that you have been there a little bit.
Rowdy,
but that's okay, like, because I, you know, having a finish time, like, I know you're not there till 12:30, but you know, sometimes that can kind of tie you a little bit, like you feel like you need to get in very quickly, whereas I would imagine within the group sometimes people are taking their time before they'd even speak or are able to release anything or get a word in, and, you know, as well, like, so I think it's really important that it starts at 7:30 and then obviously we're not going to be here till 12:30, but you know, it gives that little bit of a freedom to be able to express yourself, you know.
Absolutely. And we do, I suppose, respect that, you know. I mean, look, I mean, I, as I said, I'm 11 years down the road. There's other people there maybe 8 or 9 years. There's somebody else there maybe 2 years. You know, another person a year, another one 3 or 4 months. Everybody's at a different stage in the grief process. And I suppose to me, I think, like, we're all born on a different day for a reason.
Completely.
You know, we must all die on a different day. And I think that that's what keeps the human society going. And as painful as it is, I think that it's a good thing that we have all the variety of the times of death in there. Because, as we all know, the first few months are, you know, there's no sense or meaning to it. And we don't know how to turn or where to look at or... And I know people with the best will in the world will say something to you, you know, I know how you feel. And I suppose if I would say anything here tonight, nobody knows how you feel. You know, we all carry grief in a different pair of shoes, but it has to be respected no matter what age the person is that dies. Like, some people think that because, you know, my own mam was 94, well, you know, she lived a full life. And so she did. Yet it doesn't say that you don't grieve for the person because you love them. And then, I mean, there's others that there's a lot of anger around. It depends on the relationship you've had with the person as well. And, you know, it's called life. And even when they're living, we have our ups and downs. And if we didn't, I don't think we'd be human either. So I think it's learning to respect all of the emotions that come with grief, really. It's a huge thing, really. And at the same time, I'm a great believer in that we initially, in those first days when it's absolutely out of our control, that we need to carve out time in our lives to actually shelf our grief. And what do I mean by that? It's like taking a breath, saying to yourself for 30 minutes, I am actually going to give grief this time in my day to day. So that I have the freedom to live the rest of my day free of feeling guilty that I'm not grieving all day. Sometimes grief takes over so much that we feel we must grieve all day long. And I don't think anyone really needs to actually look at it like that. And when you start to carve it out and give it time and respect it, you can put on music that might, you might remember the person, or take out a picture and look at it. And there's little things that you can do and sit down and think about them. And as time goes on, I suppose it's like the ocean, you know, it comes in waves. And thank God that the waves get longer at times, and that we are able to breathe deeper and, you know, live our own lives. Because while grieving is about grieving for those that are dead, I think living is very important for the people that live.
Mm-hmm.
That we must learn to live our lives now in a new way.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the things I'd like to get across to people is that the just because the support group is in the Cancer Support Centre, it's not, well, it is to do with cancer, but it's also open to anyone who has experienced death or, you know, has somebody that died in their life, you know, and there's no time frame on it either. Like, you know, people could say 15 years afterwards, they're only just, you know, dealing with their grief then because there were so many things happening in their life. So it's really open to anyone who has experienced a death in their life. And I must admit, at this very moment in time, I'm doing everything in my power not to say the word lost. Myself and Katie have... but I must admit, Katie has really opened my eyes to this. And what she said to me one day was, she said, for the first time ever in your life, you know exactly where that person is, so you haven't actually lost them. So you know they're in the graveyard, so you haven't actually lost them. So I must admit, it's a terminology that is used all the time, but it makes sense not to use it. And we were talking about this today, about the fact that, again, interestingly, you know, what I was talking about today about being impeccable with your words, you know, when you use the word lost, it kind of doesn't, you know, but when you say they've died or they're dead, that really hits home, that hits with a bang on your chest, you know what I mean? Whereas when you say lost, it can kind of be, you know, whatever, it can be a bit clouncy,
you
know?
Well, you can lose your keys, as I said, you lose your phone, and what you do, you go looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the difference, I suppose, really, because we do know for the first time in our lives exactly where they are. Not for the first time in our lives, but we definitely know where they are. And I suppose it takes away that, I think it brings back to within yourself, and that you can, even if you take that moment, as I say, carving that time out, you can visualise that person. And, you know, I suppose sometimes even in a house, you know yourself, people are in the next room. And we might give an old shout out or something and call them. And I suppose, I think with death actually, that... That with when, you know, they're in the next room, is somebody that's living in the same house, you're always present? Not always.
No.
There's a lot of time that they're lost in their own thoughts and miles away, and they don't hear what you're saying, and you feel that you're even less important than, you know, when they're actually not there.
So,
I think we can actually keep them within our hearts, I suppose, and you know, talk about them every day, and not every day, but you know, let them be part of our conversation, and that then there's no way that they're just a distant memory. You know,
I'd say
there's no day that Dan isn't spoken about to me in somewhere or another. Somebody'll come up and say even recently somebody was on to me about the fact that we played Bat Out of Hell and he came out of the church. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, I suppose a lot of people that would be listening would have known Dan anyhow, like, you know what I mean? Because he would have been, was well known around the town.
Yeah,
like,
he was a great character, sure, you know. Bigger than life and larger than life. I suppose, look, you know, it's funny, a man wrote me a letter after he died and said, now that, you know, the big oak tree is gone, there'll be time for us all to sprout. So I suppose there's a little bit of that in it as well.
A bit of space to sprout, you know.
Exactly.
That's an interesting letter for someone to write to you.
There you go. And from another man, amazing. So
did you feel solitude within that, or did you feel anything?
I don't know. At the time, I suppose I looked at it and thought it was a bit crazy, but as time goes on, I can see where it comes from.
Just bought a compliment. It was a compliment, really, like, you know.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it,
So can we talk a little bit about tapping? You know, so it's not putting on tapping shoes and tapping around the place.
No, it's not.
And it's not about taps or anything like that, no.
But it is tapping. What it is, actually, it's called emotional freedom tapping. And it is like a Pandora's box, I always say. So what we do is, it actually goes back to the emotions attached to your memories. So they introduced it many years ago for actually soldiers coming back from war that had horrendous memories that they couldn't actually go to sleep at night, and they having the nightmares and everything. And it releases the power attached to that memory and it gives you freedom. Basically, that's what it is. Now, it's scientifically proven that it's actually very good for your body physically as well as emotionally. You know, even for blood pressure and things like that, it can actually reduce it. It's great for anxiety. And we live in a world where I suppose people are nearly living like the chased, I suppose, tiger all the time. Even though we no longer have those tigers out in the woods about to pounce. But we're nearly living that way, I suppose. But yeah, so it's actually on all the points, the meridian points within your system.
Okay. So do you want to explain to people what meridian points are?
So the meridian points, they're attached to every cell inside in our body. So when you tap on these points, it releases all the energy attached to it.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
And it is.
So it's like acupuncture then?
It's like acupuncture.
Yeah.
Except it's the power is in your fingertips.
Right.
And you can do it any time of the day yourself once you learn the technique of it.
Mm.
And there's actually great freedom in it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like everything, Shane. You know, I do individual sessions with people.
Mm.
And you clear, I suppose, back on the traumas that happen in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said to Alida today, life happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we must tap every day to release the energy of today.
Mm-hmm.
Not allow to accumulate, you know, like another bucket every time. So, yeah, so it's a fantastic technique.
So you work individually with people one-on-one about this?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
And we're hoping now to get up, and once I'll have it confirmed, we're going to run a course in the All Cancer House very shortly, maximum 10 people in any given course. And I'll be running it for 4 nights.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be 1 night a week for 4 nights.
Mm-hmm.
So once I have more information gathered on it, I'll...
But I must admit, you know, I know a bit about tapping and stuff like that, even through the world of psychotherapy, and I would know people that do it, and anyone that actually does it. And look, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you showed us techniques and showed us what to do, and I have to admit, I haven't done anything since then. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's like any of the habits,
yeah,
you know.
It's a
a habit, and you know, you just have to get into the practice of it. You know,
absolutely.
It's like, as I said there, like, I mean, I had to stop myself about 10 times not saying the word lost. But I mean, you know, it's the same as what I say to my clients. Once you create that awareness within you, you notice you're saying it, and then you go, oh, won't do that again. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just dropping into it. And it's the same with, you know, learning about the different parts of your body to tap and what one releases and all that sort of stuff. But I suppose what I'd like to say to people is that you've actually gone to do a course, and you went to...
I went to America.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't just go up to Dublin to do it. No, you went in style, and you went to Oklahoma to do it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I went to Oklahoma. Well, I was so interested. Initially, I went for myself, Shane, not for anyone else in the world, really, because I was in a very vulnerable place, and I just came across it by chance. So I was interested to find out exactly how does it work and how can it help, and it's definitely coming in now. I mean, a lot of the athletes and everything are even using it, so it's just an amazing technique.
Yeah
there to be used.
I presume that when you're doing the grief, when you're doing the bereavement group, that you throw a bit of tapping in every now and then and stuff like that. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Okay. So I help if I can at all. If I can give it to somebody, I'll share it with them, certainly.
Yeah. Within the group. No, where appropriate, obviously, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah. So the support group in Yall Cancer Support Centre, I assume it's not on this Monday, Bank Holiday
no,
Monday.
No, it's not on this Monday night, but so every other Monday night.
Every other Monday night at 7:30, and anybody is welcome that has experienced a debt.
Absolutely.
You know, in their life, you know what I mean? And, you know, as we were saying as well, and I think we were talking as well about, like, I mean, I think that there's an awful lot of grief as well around the pandemic and about the loss of certain things and loss of, you know, the way we lived, and even a loss of how a lot of people have changed the way they live their lives these days and stuff like that. And I suppose the word grief, you know, for most people is a debt, a physical debt of somebody in their life.
And we don't think much more.
There's so much more. Like, I mean, there's just such a huge volume of stuff that we... And I mean, one of the ones you said to me today, and I hadn't really thought about it, was that retirement, you know, when you're in a job for like 40 years and then suddenly you're retired, that's a grief. And it's a grief of a life when you think about it, you know.
Well, I personally would say that I certainly found that a big jump as well in my life. And I suppose that's why I'm into this now. I'd love to even expand more on it. But yeah, it's a big loss, because I mean, I was a nurse myself, so I worked in St. Raphael's here actually in York.
Okay.
And you have the camaraderie, you miss that. And be good or bad, you know, it's like any relationship. You have good moments and bad moments. But I mean, the reality is that you miss that communication. And yeah, absolutely. It's a complete transformation that you must actually look at your pathway again. So it's not just with, I think retirement, I think there's a lot of people actually that find it difficult.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, I even think of my dad, like, and he went from, you know, working a 40-hour week and finishing up on the Friday, and then on the Monday, nothing. And you know, it's huge. Like when you think about it, like it's just such this big hole, and then suddenly, like you know, I think that it's something that you know they should look at really, like that maybe the gradual easing out of it, like you know, rather than the big bang that actually happens, like you know what I mean, or something along those lines around retirement and stuff like that. You know, or
I'm not a great advocate of retirement anyway, so there
You agree. I agree with you there. Like, I mean, it should be a choice anyway. At the end of the day, it shouldn't be actually you're doing
and
it because we're all different.
No, I'll have to say, Shane, I was probably one of the people that chose it, but it's a big jump in life, really. And I think it's actually the fact that you're in such a habit of getting out of bed in the morning, and as much as we all complain about work every so often, it is actually a great way of living your life.
To recap, we've mentioned about the Grief Support Centre in the Cancer Support Centre. If anybody wants to get individual tapping with you, how do they find you?
Well, I will give you my number, and they can contact you at the All Cancer Support if they want to get it there. And I can give it out to you now if you like.
Yeah, go on, work away.
Yeah, my number is 086-3586-373.
Yeah.
And I will say a session takes about an hour to an hour and a half, so give yourself plenty of time. Yeah, and like the All Cancer Support, I don't knock it off in the hour.
Exactly.
If it goes over the hour, to the hour, an hour and a half, I like to
to explore and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Like, so, So,
and I would recommend that people maybe have about four sessions and that's it.
They take a break for a while. Absolutely. And your course is kind of watch this space, like type of thing. Like
absolutely, it's going to be a little mix. The first part of it, I think the first night is going to be about the wheel of life, so that you can look at your wheel and see what part of your life you really want to explore in. And then the second and third and fourth night will be introducing the tapping and
showing them the techniques and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That they can take away themselves and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You know. So we'll have.
And it's like, you know, everything, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. And we'll probably have, you know, hundreds of tappers in y'all eventually.
I hope y'all becomes the tapping town. I'm all for it because it's a fabulous technique. Every school in Ireland should have it, actually.
Yeah.
And start with the smallies, not the big ones.
Okay, thanks very much, Katie.
You're
thanks for
welcome,
coming
Shane.
In.
Thank
and
you,
yeah, and so I hope that loads of people will start tapping.